M36. Number 3A.
All right. I want to take an hour or so to speak about the practice on the level of divine science and science. We have seen at the beginning of our week's work that we must see that for every problem there is a right theory, and that practice is choosing the right theory. Now, what we have done up to now is to show really the practice on the level of Christian Science and of absolute Christian Science by seeing that on the level of Christian Science we analyze a problem to the point where it is seen what it is, and then handle the arguments of that problem through the facts about this life. Therefore, taking the synonymous terms and viewing all the arguments of a problem from the synonymous terms. But then this afternoon, when we considered absolute Christian Science, we were tackling the problems from another standpoint, namely to see that the problem is actually not the problem, that the problem is a blessing in disguise, and therefore seeing what is the idea that is behind that disguise, and see that it is always the idea that is impelled by life, truth and love, so that nothing is really happening in our human experience but the impact of life, truth and love forcing, so to say, error to disappear. But now, when we have seen that everything is in the realm of idea, and that actually there has never been a fact called error, but only a simulation of the idea, we can go a step higher and say, all right, now I have cleansed my consciousness to the point where the arguments of evil are no more voicing themselves, where the arguments of evil are silenced. Therefore, my practice here on divine science is to see what is the infinite evolution of an idea. How can I give birth to the infinite mutation of my own being? What is the infinite progression as concrete being? I'm no more now going to defend myself against the arguments of evil. Now I'm seeing the infinite evolution of good. And so my practice at that point is quite different. The problems are different. They are now positive problems. We are now facing the positive problem, how does my being evolve and evolve? How am I brought higher and higher in the spiritual line of light? And so I can see, well, for that I need a different theory. I need the theory of divine science. Divine science is what? Divine science says there is a oneness of being. In that oneness of being, all error is right away excluded right from the beginning. So I do not have to take into the consideration the arguments of evil. And I can just see that there is just that infinite flow of the seventh synonymous term bringing out constantly a higher conception and a higher idea, the new birth, infinite progression. But instead of just seeing in a mystical way, or even in the way of belief, that God is constantly bringing out something higher, I have to understand this process of a new birth. And I can understand that process of a new birth by seeing that actually only within that matrix of the one being, within the infinite womb of that one being, is anything going to happen, and everything takes place within that one being. There is no impact on the so-called opposite, but therefore there is just that infinite manifestation of mind manifesting itself as the word out of itself. I begin to see that the synonymous term actually are the cause of an infinite evolution, that they as mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, constantly manifest themselves. The cause of it is in themselves. The source of that evolution is in the synonymous terms. So I can begin to see that mind manifests itself infinitely out of the whole of mind. The whole mind manifests itself out of the whole of mind. I'm no more interested in single ideas, because I don't know what the problem is, you see. I don't know how I will evolve. I don't know the plan of God. Therefore, I cannot be specific here with specific ideas. I have to take the whole synonymous term and see that mind wants to express and to manifest the whole of mind. And so I fill my thought with all that mind is, the whole concept of mind, and see, golly, nothing is ever going on but that one mind as the infinite origin and source and wellspring of mind that constantly pours forth the whole of mind. And I don't have any more sense that something is small and little and specific. I'm right in that realm where I feel the whole can no more be split up in specific aspects. It's always the whole that is at work. And as I begin to see that, I can see that that mind that manifests itself out of itself has a Christ. It has a power to express itself. Again, I can see this is the one being, and within that one being, therefore, the whole Christ, that one truth, is always at work as the one truth, and not just as specific ideas of truth. And so I begin to get the touch that the medium through which mind works is the whole of mind, not just some ideas of mind. The whole of mind is constantly at work as the Christ expression, as the Christ manifestation at work and in operation. And so I'm not concerned about individual cases. I'm always concerned about that one mind as a Christ mind. And so I feel this is a terrific big treatment which I give, because it touches the whole universe. It touches the universal claims of error and touches them in one great view. And as I go on, I can see now if mind has a Christ and brings out the whole of mind, what then is the effect of it, the result of it? And I can see at the point of Christianity, where we always consider the outcome of the Christ idea, the outcome, I see the outcome of it is not the manifestation of a right idea, the solution of an individual right idea, but that the outcome is always the whole of mind. Therefore, I see that that mind as the word which manifests itself out of itself, and as the Christ through the whole of mind, will also manifest itself and show itself forth as a demonstration of the whole of mind, and not just as single blessings. Here a healing, there a healing, here something developing, there's something going on. I always see that the manifestation, the demonstration, is the whole of mind. All ideas of mind working together for one big demonstration. And as I see that, I ask myself, but the demonstration for what? And I come to science that says, for mind. Not for me, not for the world, not for convincing the world, not for convincing my husband and my wife. It's for the divine principle itself. And therefore again I have a feeling and a sense that I have a cybernetic self-organizing principle which comes out of mind, works through the mind. The output is the whole of mind. For what purpose? For a feedback back as a new input, again, for mind. And all sense that being is here to take care of an individual situation is being dropped. We lose that sense. We lose that sense that divine science is engaged in helping here a little bit and there a little bit and bringing out this and that and the other truth, but that it is proving itself as what it is. Therefore, can you see that when Jesus was working on the level of divine science, that it must have been at that point where he was demonstrating, so to say, healing the multitude. By healing the multitude, he couldn't be engaged in the demonstration of individual cases. There were too many to be taken care of. When it was said he healed the multitude, it wasn't that he went from one to the next and gave him a treatment. He had that consciousness of divine science in which he could see that he doesn't need to demonstrate individual cases, where he could see the problem on the level of divine science is to demonstrate the synonymous term and not individual cases. So in filling his consciousness actually with that whole rhythm of divine science, where only the synonymous term demonstrates itself as synonymous term, naturally everything is included. We cannot have the whole and not with the whole all the details, all the parts. With the whole, the parts are included. Therefore here on this altitude of consciousness, we are really not looking at cases. We demonstrate God. We demonstrate the synonymous terms. We don't demonstrate a healing. We demonstrate the actuality of being, God. Therefore, within that level of divine science, it is, we can see that law at work, where we can take one synonymous term after the other and just put it through that wonderful law which always says, the word says, that the synonymous term manifests itself out of the synonymous term, as the Christ through the synonymous term, in Christianity as the synonymous term. It demonstrates the synonymous term, and always for what? In science, for the synonymous term. So according to the synonymous term we choose, we can elaborate on that beautiful law and see mind manifests itself out of the whole of mind. It manifests itself through the channel of the whole of mind. it manifests itself as the whole of mind, for all ideas of mind, the whole of mind, and in science, for the whole of mind. And so you can go to spirit and you can see spirit evolves everything out of the whole of spirit. Wonderful, when you think about that. That spirit evolves all out of the whole of spirit. Therefore, evolves everything out of the whole possibilities of order, out of all ordered being. Therefore, evolves according to infinite order, not just according to one sequence, but according to infinite order and infinite diversification, classification, and individualization. Can you hear the terrific expansion you get when we go through these laws and see that therefore spirit evolves everything out of the whole of spirit? It evolves through the whole of spirit. It uses all that spirit has, all the lines of unfoldment, all orders, all sequences it uses. That Christ just uses all orders in order to express itself, not just one order, say the Christ order, the Christianity order, all orders, so that the whole ordered being is being evolved and reconstructed, that it evolves as the whole of spirit, as the whole of spirit. Therefore it will show forth all the newness of spirit, and always evolves in science for the whole of spirit, for even higher orders. That's why we can go, we are led and are being inspired to see higher orders. Can you see those laws? Or you take soul and you begin to see, what does soul do? Soul begins to identify everything from the whole of mind. Therefore identifies everything rightly. But it also identifies itself through the whole of soul. It uses all the ways of naming and blessing and identifying and translating, of exchanging. It uses just everything in order to identify its own being. There is not just one way of doing it, say by exchanging the objects of sense, or by naming, or by blessing. It uses the whole of soul in order to identify the whole of being. And in Christianity we can see that soul identifies all as the whole of soul. As the whole of soul. It identifies itself therefore as the whole of soul, as the whole satisfaction, as the whole bliss, as the whole joy and happiness, as the whole sense of satisfaction. Can you see? Not just one way, just every way of identifying being. And so soul identifies itself for the glory of soul. For the glory of soul. Everything becomes more definite in consciousness. Everything becomes more clear in consciousness. Everything is clearly identified, testified. It testifies itself much clearer. It becomes much more tangible, spiritual tangible, because it is for soul and not for us. And so we can go on in these laws and see that principle does what? Oh, so beautiful. That principle practices itself out of itself. There is no other practitioner. The only practitioner there is their principle practicing out of itself. There is no more practitioner having to practice on something. I begin to see really that divine principle is the practitioner and mobilizing everything within that principle in order to practice. That divine principle practices itself through the Christ, through the whole principle. You know, through everything that principle has. He practices, therefore, through science, through system, through harmony, through classification, through everything that is fundamental in the system, through unity of principle and idea, through reaching every part of the system. You get just the sense of that principle as the Christ practicing and practicing, using all the channels necessary for a scientific demonstration. And you go on to Christianity and you see principle practices itself as the whole of principle, as the whole harmony of principle, bringing out the whole harmony of principle, bringing out clearly what is the whole system of principle, bringing out very clearly what is the science of this principle. It doesn't just bring out the single harmony, a single harmonious demonstration. And so we feel, my word, what is brought out as the outcome of that principle, practicing as the whole of principle. For what? Not for proving anything to us. For giving proof through healing. It's much bigger than that. It practices itself for the whole of principle, namely for bringing out everything that is scientific in that principle, proving everything that is within that principle, namely the scientificalness of that principle, not the human harmony, not physical harmony, but the scientificalness of that principle is being practiced and proved. And this is the reason why more and more we can see the intricacies of a system, of a science. We begin to see more and more structure in the science. We begin to see more and more structure within structure. The moment we see there is only one principle practicing itself and demonstrating itself for principle, we see that the outcome of this practice is to show structure within structure. Just as we have seen it this morning when we went through the structure of the textbook and compared it with the structure of the 12th chapter, was showing that the 12th chapter is a structure within the structure, which is nothing else but a restructuring of the whole structure, bringing out one individual kind of structure, and in that way making the structure of the textbook even more impressive, even more convincing. That was the purpose of it. And in this way, we really feel that cybernetic rhythm of a self-organizing system, which just brings us higher and higher in a spiral, always spiraling up and up, to the point where we then can reach science itself. And so we could go through each one of the synonymous terms. We could go to life and show there that life eternalizes itself out of itself. Actually, when you come to that law of life in divine science, it's just overwhelming. But when one spells it out, it loses a lot of its spirit, it loses a lot of the touch and feel of that law naturally. It's much more beautiful when one can go through it in absolute peace and rest and solitude and just feel the spiritual touch of it, what it implies. But it's terrific to feel suddenly that life eternalizes itself out of itself. Doesn't eternalize it through a practitioner, not through our work, not through our metaphysical work, not through our understanding. Here it eternalizes itself because life demonstrates life. Life, capital L, demonstrates what? Life, capital L. for small l. Here we begin to feel the whole well of life is now springing forth out of that well of life, but one thing, that one life. That one life is then eternalizing itself through the whole of life, through the whole of life. So I begin to feel if it needs the channel and the method of the whole life, then I begin to realize why there is no birth and no maturity and no decay. I begin to realize why it is that there is no pre-birth life and after-birth life and after-death life, that life is just an isness, and that that life as the Christ eternalizes itself through that whole of isness life, of the isness of life. And it eternalizes itself as the whole of life, not as life, small l, eternal. You know, not as life, small l, eternal. Eternal life is a small l. This is not big enough, you know. Eternal life is a small l. It's just asking, is my life eternal? Have I an individual eternal life or not? But when I see that life eternalizes it as life, capital L, you see, then I know that there is just one expression of life, and that's life eternal, life in and of spirit, and I'm not even looking anymore out for a life after death, my life after death. Can I overcome death? Can I overcome grave? All that goes away. It's life eternalizing itself as life. There's no time sense in it, no here and there in it, no here and hereafter in it. It's just isness and beingness there. And it does that, it eternalizes itself for the eternality of life. That's why life per se is eternal, because it lives life.